In our last program, we were talking about the great central hope of the Christian religion. The prospect of coming back from the state of death by being resurrected. No Christian can afford to neglect a thorough study of resurrection, because resurrection is the only hope you have of gaining immortality, of becoming death-proof forever, and continuing to exist endlessly. Surely the matter of your potential for endless existence is something requiring your urgent attention before anything else in life. In these daily programs, we're inviting you to look closely at the most fundamental issues affecting your very existence, questions of life and death. God has a marvelous plan in hand to confer upon human beings the capacity to live forever. Can you imagine being beyond the reach of death? This has been the dream of mankind from time immemorial. Philosophers have racked their brains in an attempt to discover the key to immortality. Often people will search everywhere for answers, except in the one place where they can be found, in the revelation which God has provided for us, the Bible. The Bible contains specific information about our destiny as human beings. But as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, such information can be given only through the Spirit of God. That's to say, the mind of God interacting with your mind and opening your mind to see spiritual truth. Christians are those who have received a revelation from God about the great issues of life and death. Christians are allowed by God freely to know the things given us by God, so Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Paul said that he was teaching truth, not in terms of human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Paul added that people who are not on the spiritual wavelength of the Bible are unable to grasp the things of the Spirit of God. They seem foolish or strange to those unaccustomed to the teaching inspired by God in the Bible. Then Paul made a fascinating statement. He said that properly instructed Christians have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. That's what we desperately need, the mind of Christ. There's a bewildering variety of teachings, often contradictory, which claim the name of Christ today. This presents a challenge to you as a member of the listening public. How are you to evaluate what you hear? Well, the Bible does not, for a moment, leave us in the dark. In Acts 17, verse 11, we read of the good people in the city of Berea, who, when they were exposed to someone claiming to represent the Bible, they examined what they heard on a daily basis to see if what was being said was true. The result was that they became true believers. Their success, however, cost them the effort of persistent study and reflection and reading. They searched the scriptures daily to see if what they were hearing was true. The merit of these people in Berea was that they did not just react out of prejudice. They did not just say, "I don't believe that because that's not what I'm used to hearing." Rather, they approached the message with a noble mind, as Luke in the book of Acts says. They were intelligent enough to know that they could have been mistaken, and they therefore searched out for themselves the truth of Christian doctrine. What a wonderful example for us all today. All of us can and should be personally responsible for what we believe. It's all too easy to accept as true what is either the majority opinion or what we have received as our tradition. There's a streak of laziness in human nature which makes us often unwilling to question what we've always believed. And so the only safe approach to matters of Christian truth is that we conduct a personal examination of any views we may be exposed to. Fortunately, in this age of information, the tools to investigate the Bible intelligently are available. What we need is a good concordance so that we can look up the various texts. Then we need to sit down and reflect prayerfully on what Scripture has to say on the great issues of life and death. We need to look for the consistent teaching of the Bible on any given topic, not just pull out one or two verses and ignore the weight of evidence coming from a mass of verses. And on no account should we dismiss the Old Testament, which after all was the Bible of Jesus and the early Christians. The foundation of sound teaching is laid in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus and the apostles assume that we know what that huge section of our Bibles teaches. The New Testament expands and develops the teaching given by the Old Testament, but it does not undermine it. Above all, we should be on guard against reading tradition back into the Bible. Now, here's where all our problems with the Bible begin. What many do not realize is that our Western Christianity has been heavily influenced by the philosophy of the Greeks. We have been taught to believe that man has an immortal soul in him which lives on consciously after death. On that theory, death is not really death at all, but simply a shedding of the body and a continuation of life in another place. Unfortunately, that theory has wreaked havoc on the way we read the Bible. Theologians have often complained about how unfairly the Bible is being treated. Let me give you an example directly related to our discussion of what happens when we die. Listen to the comments of a British Bible scholar of this century. He warned us that the original teaching of Scripture about what happens at death got lost very soon after the New Testament documents were completed. He says this, "The interest of modern man," and I'm quoting here, "the interest of modern man in things of the future, if he has any interest at all, centers in the fact and moment of death. He wants to know whether he will survive death and in what form. He wants to know what he can expect on the other side, what heaven will be like, whether there is such a place as hell, and so on." End of quotation. Perhaps that reflects some of the questions you may have. But now listen to what this leading scholar said. "It comes as a shock to realize how foreign these questions, which we take for granted, are to the whole New Testament picture on which Christianity is supposedly based." End of quotation. Now comes the challenging statement of the scholar, and I quote again, "In the New Testament, the point around which hope and interest revolve is not the moment of death at all, but the day of the future coming of Christ in the glory of his kingdom. The center of interest right through the New Testament focuses on the coming triumph of Jesus and his kingdom in a renovated earth. It was the reign of the Lord Jesus with all his saints that engaged the thoughts and prayers of Christians." End of quotation. We have here a great key to understanding the Bible. The problem is that we've inherited a different way of thinking. Our scholar went on to explain. He said, "As early as the 2nd century AD, there began a shift in the center of gravity which was to lead by the Middle Ages to a very different doctrine." I was quoting there from John A.T. Robinson in a book called In the End God. So you see, we've been taught to think that the moment of our individual death is the great center of interest in Christianity. But the truth is that the New Testament Christians were much more interested in what would happen to all the faithful when Jesus returned in glory to set up his kingdom on the earth. So what caused this drift and shift away from the biblical teaching about our future hope? Quite simply, a foreign idea got mixed up with the original Christian faith and confused everything. That confusion is all around us today. The confusion happened when a philosophical and unbiblical idea got started in the church. That idea was that man has an immortal soul which goes on living consciously after we die. Now just think what that would mean. It would mean that the real target of our Christian lives would be to survive death by becoming a disembodied spirit, a spirit without a body, if you can imagine such a thing. The idea of a person existing without a body is pretty vague. The major question is it a biblical idea at all? And if it isn't, shouldn't we dismiss it as a serious hindrance to understanding the teaching of Jesus? I want to repeat a statement of another scholar about this very popular idea that disembodied souls survive death and go on living consciously. In the celebrated Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, the writer says, "No biblical text authorizes the statement that the soul is separated from the body at the moment of death." I commend that to every Bible reader and Bible teacher. It's quite a revolutionary statement, and if it's found true, as we and many others believe it is, we're going to have to do some serious rethinking about what we've been telling people about their destiny. The scholar I was quoting earlier, who complained that Christians often misunderstand the biblical hope for the future, says this about the popular notion that souls survive death by escaping from the body. I quote, "It's an almost universally cherished belief that the immortality of the soul is a tenet of the Christian faith, despite the fact that it rests on assumptions which are fundamentally at variance with the biblical doctrine of God and man." In plain language, popular tradition does not agree with the teaching of the Bible. You will remember that this was the great complaint that Jesus had with the established religious traditions of his day. they were not in accordance with God's revelation in the Bible. I'm sure you will be willing to consider the possibility, at least, that things may not be much better today. The fact that Christians are obviously so divided in their understanding of the Bible surely suggests that something is interfering with the way we are reading Scripture. That interference, we suggest here at Atlanta Bible College, is philosophical traditions of men which are not compatible with the faith as Jesus taught it. Sometimes people will object and say that the church could not go astray, at least not on a major issue of doctrine. To this we might reply that if you happen to belong to the Protestant tradition, you claim that the church had in fact been almost entirely wrong for 1,000 years before Luther completely reformed it. There's no guarantee that majority opinions are the right ones. This forces us to examine all things carefully for ourselves, and this can provide us with an exciting adventure in Bible study as we carefully test our own views against God's revealed standard in the Scriptures. It may be that some of this material is new to you. Please contact us at the address given at the end of this program. We would be delighted to supply you with further study material. There's nothing to be lost and everything to be gained by a careful investigation of all Christian teachings. Until next time, may God bless you in your search for truth.